Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, we'll start in the Gospel. Verse 10, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people." This is the text. Now think about it from the perspective of the angels. What goes into their history? What is held within their knowledge? And the Bible gives us some pretty good idea. In the days of creation, God tells us, and this is in the book of Job, the angels sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. It was the joy of watching the awesome power of God calling forth life in the world he had created. And that, of course, includes the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. And they sing and they celebrate because God loves life and he had called them to life. And then he commanded and the earth brought forth. And then, God in his wisdom formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And then, from the rib of the man, Eve is created, and things are set in motion, that there will be generation after generation after generation of life created in the image of God, to know God, to walk with him, and to hear and treasure his word. The angels are in awe. These are things into which angels long to look. Even on the day of Adam and Eve falling into sin, this God whom the angels worship and glorify was amazing. The seed of the woman would come into the world. He would bring forgiveness and life. The seed of the woman. Who would that be? And Eve says it out, sort of blurts it out way before the appointed time. "I have gotten a man, the Lord." Well, there had been hints. Paul taps into this when he says, this is the wisdom that God had set in motion, what God had planned before the ages for our glory. So even back then, the angels have a hint. God himself was planning to step down from heaven and become one of us. How does an angel respond to that? What unimaginable, even for an angel, unimaginable love for his people, love of life, faithfulness to his promises, and closeness of devotion there is in this amazing God. Do they look at the second person of the Trinity with renewed wonder? He is the one walking in the garden. He is the one calling out to Adam and Eve. He is the one then declaring that he himself will be wounded for their salvation. Isaiah's vision was right. What can they say and sing and call out, but holy, holy, holy. It is the holiness beyond holiness. It's holiness that flows out from God, making all around him holy. And you too would cover your face and cover your feet and be in awe. Now, besides this, there is also the threefold holy is because God is triune. There is the Son who will bring holiness into the world. And as Isaiah's vision continues, an angel is sent to take a live coal from the altar and press it to Isaiah's lips. The live coal, wood for the cross, the altar for the sacrifice, pressed to Isaiah's lips so he can prophesy of the suffering and sacrifice of the second person of the Trinity. The prophecies continue. The virgin will conceive, and she will call his name what? Emmanuel. God with us. From Micah, whose goings forth are from ancient times, from days of eternity. The eternal is coming into our timely existence. And back when Abraham, the father, brings his son, Isaac, to the mountain of God, the mountain of sacrifice, and then receives him back. With each one, prophecy by word, prophecy by act, with each one does the wonder increase? Do the holy, holy, holies become even more filled with awe? But there is a difference between knowing about the plan and seeing it actually happen. This difference between knowing that God will come into the world, born of a woman, the seed of a woman, and actually seeing it unfold. A young woman, humble, not at all expecting the blessing, a journey to Bethlehem, and then no room in the inn. And the Son of God, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, is there lying in the manger. And this is God. How do the angels respond? Human logic rebels. The philosopher says the finite is not capable of holding the infinite. Natural man wants a God with might and a God with glory, but this God. And the angels simply wonder. They knew him in his power. Now they see him coming in weakness to rescue the weak. They knew him in his wisdom. And now the path is set out to where the whole human race will see the foolishness of the cross. Countless multitudes will come to salvation through that foolish, hidden wisdom of God. The angels knew him in his glory. Now they will see him in the stable, lying in the manger, soon to walk the dusty roads, touching lepers, spitting on the ground to make mud and heal a blind man's eyes, washing feet, sweating great drops of blood, beaten, spit on, laid in the tomb. So that we who chose the earthly, the flesh, the dust, so that we may rise one day to share in his eternal glory. What a curious thing this is, that the Creator would choose to become a creature, that the Almighty would choose to become helpless, that he whom the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain would choose to place himself within the tiny frame of an infant. You almost could rewrite one of the verses of "From heaven above to earth I come." Ah, Lord, you have created all. How are you now so very small? The angels wonder. These are things into which angels long to look. Even with all the hints and the prophecies of the Old Testament, the angels were, and they still are, in absolute awe over the nature and character of this merciful God who came to set us free. Well, you too would want to break forth in song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." In Jesus' name, amen.